together today. Isn't it so good to be together in this house as one family? Whoever you are here today, whether you're new or you've been coming a long time, you are family today, and you are welcome no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter how you are. We believe today can be a landmark moment where God takes you out of a cocoon, and instead of being a caterpillar, you are a butterfly. You are free, ready to fly, not restrained, but you are liberated in the name of Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, the option's still there for you. Why don't we grab a seat? Why don't you say hello to someone before you, as you sit, whether you know them or not, just say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Okay, so today we're talking about the hidden kingdom. And I want to start us off in a book called Hebrews, which is not about Yorkshire tea. The guy who wrote the book of Hebrews in the Bible wrote it to a bunch of people who their ethnic origins were Hebrews. So it's to the Hebrews. So it's like being from Hindley and saying this book is to the Hindleyans. Or Inglians, if you're actually from Hindley, you call it Ingly. So we're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28. If you're going to find it in your Bibles, it's in the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible. Here we go. This is what it says. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Paul here is saying that we have received a different kingdom. In fact, Jesus himself, when he was around, because Paul wrote this after he had ascended, died, rose again, ascended. This is a little bit, maybe 50 years later. Paul is writing this. Jesus actually said the kingdom of God is near. What Jesus said in the Gospels. Why is it near? Well, it's because Jesus is the king. And he was there. So, hey, hello, guys. It's near, as in 6 feet away from you. The kingdom is near. Paul is talking about receiving a different kingdom. You see, we live in an amazing world. It's diverse, it's cultural, it's full of compassion, it's full of life, it's full of color. Everything under the sun, God looks at and loves because he loves us. We are everything to him. That's why he sent his everything through Jesus. We live in an amazing world full of continents and trees and rainbows and Donald Trump and all these different things that we have to put up with, we have to live with. We live, and this is an amazing planet. Even Wigan is an amazing town. Who believes Wigan's an amazing town? Amazing power. We have a pier that is 2 feet long. I mean, where else in the world has one of those? We have pie on a barn. We have Wigan kebabs. We have it all in Wigan. We live in an amazing place. We are colourful people. This is a colourful kingdom. But what Paul is talking about here isn't simply a place or a space on the earth. He's actually talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God cannot be seen almost. Because God is with us, but he is not present tangibly. He is within us and inside of us. And what Paul is talking about here is a hidden kingdom. What if God wanted to establish his kingdom inside of us? See, inside of us is a hidden kingdom. Subconscious and conscious. We have playgrounds and parks where we rest, let off steam and relax. We have factories that create and manufacture new substances. Trains of thought that link every building and district. And these synapses that fire create links between these destinations that are our memories, our habits, and our beliefs. Inside this kingdom, there are laboratories where we study, invent new ideas, and test old ones. There are cathedrals where we worship whatever gods that we worship at the time. There are casinos where we learn to weigh up the odds, place a bet, and take risks. There are millions and millions of container after container, storing memory after memory, good and bad. There are libraries filled with shelves of ideas and projects that will never be, but we stored away anyway. There are plants and construction sites where fresh expressions and establishments are being built daily, as well as derelict high-rises standing empty because we simply neglected them and forgot about them. And over time, they became lost. We have open spaces and gardens in this hidden kingdom where we daydream and walk. We have coastlines and mountaintops where we stand and admire and appreciate all that falls before us. Before Wilberforce abolished the slave trade, he first had the idea in this hidden kingdom. Before Curie learned how to treat cancer, or before anybody landed on the moon, it all started with an idea in the hidden kingdom. Before you and I move home, decide on careers, fall in love, and gather wealth, we first have an idea. Everything starts inside our hidden kingdom. Your mind is a womb. It is an engine, and it is a rudder that is steering you toward tomorrow. And this hidden kingdom is wonderful and creative and dynamic, and your thoughts just keep getting bigger and wider and stronger until what started as a tent, as a baby, has now become a metropolis as an adult. This is a kingdom of thought, a hidden kingdom that reveals itself in your speech and your actions. So when the tweets stop and the makeup is wiped off, when the insults have run out, your head hits the pillow and we enter back into this hidden kingdom. Thank you, media guys. But you are not just the only ruler inside of your brain. There are lots of different leaders and rulers inside of you. I was just chatting to someone who's been coming around the last few weeks, a guy who is turning his life around. And he is filled. He said, whenever I go home, I am just ruled by fear. I'm afraid of the people from my past catching up to my present. I'm afraid that they're going to be around the corner. I'm afraid, and it's fear, fear, fear is the king in his castle. I remember chatting to another guy. We had some time together. We went out for a drink in Starbucks, and we were encouraging each other, swapping stories about our own mental health and where our lives have been. And he says, you know what? I'm scared that my anger is going to make me do something I'll regret. I'm afraid that my anger will overtake me and overthrow me until I do something that can't be undone. That is because in his mind is the ruler of anger. There's been many studies done about mental health, as I'm sure you'll know. A study done by APMS, which was in 2010, which was kind of pushed forward by the NHS, showed that one in four people will experience a mental health crisis at any given point in a year. So, you know, the quarter of us, that side of the room, you know, you're in trouble, guys. You know, you guys need to buy them a coffee, you know. At any one point, a quarter of you right now in here are in a place where you are struggling to deal with inside of your hidden kingdom. And you'll come out of that, and as you come out of that, no doubt, as you come out of that, someone else will walk right back into it. Because this seems to be this ebb and flow, this tide that comes in and comes out. We overcome and we conquer, then we fall victim, we become the prey. Suspicion can become the driver. Fear, envy, anxiousness, sorrow. And they seek to seize control and take part of your city. The leading cause of death worldwide, did you know, it isn't suicide, it isn't alcohol, or it isn't war. It's actually depression, anxiety, OCDs. Because war, alcohol, and suicide are all symptoms of a secret ruler inside of people, chipping away at the self-confidence, chipping away at their identity, calling them false names, taking control and taking the life away from them. If we are to free this world, we must first free ourselves. And out of your wholeness, you will bring wholeness. Question is, who rules me? Okay, it's probably your wife, right? But let's just take her out of the equation. But it's this hidden kingdom, okay? Who rules me? I think it's safe to assume that there's not one ruler, right? So if you look at your life, you kind of break it up into compartments. Home, work, family, hobbies, dreams, even memories. We all are these different districts, if you imagine, different boroughs in our kingdom. And we allow different rulers to have those. You see, you hate winter, but you love Christmas. You respect all people, but you hate that guy at work. See, we give permission and different levels of permission to whatever the district is in our minds. Who rules me? It's probably a different person each area. Why is it when you see, say you've got a work do, and there's that guy there who's really sort of pushy and a little bit annoying sometimes. Oh, I'm in church. Oh, sorry. A little bit annoying sometimes. And you go to like a function, like a Christmas do or something at work, and he's just the loveliest guy in the world. He even buys you a drink and puts his arm around you. He gives his wife a kiss. Never give me a kiss. He gives his wife a kiss. And he's this lovely guy. Because he is allowing different rulers to rule the different parts of his life. So when we say who rules me, the reality is probably a lot of different things control us at any one point in time. The key is this. We have to reflect to correct. If you cannot objectively reflect on yourself and know where you have made a wrong turn and where a right turn, it is very difficult to make any long-lasting corrections because you're not seeing yourself in the right light. In order to correct our position, in order to correct how we think and correct our course, we need to first reflect. We need to ask questions of ourselves. Why did I do that? What was the reason behind that? If I was someone else, would they have reacted how I did? You're reflecting. You're not criticizing yourself. You're just reflecting, right? You're just thinking, was that the right thing to do? Why did I go on that? Why did I start the day in such a great mood, and now as I'm lying in bed ready to go to sleep, I feel like I've got nothing in my life worth living for? What is the process? You need to reflect in order to correct. There's a famous quote, and I tried to find who says it, but if you go on Google, it says, 50 different people have said this for the first time, but I think it's been around for generations, but it's this. We see things as we are, not as they are. Sometimes Dave preached a message last year and a little bit this year about the filters in our minds. Sometimes we have to take our own filter off to see ourselves objectively. There's a story of a mum who has recently had a child who had a really tough pregnancy. And this is what she says from our community. Tough pregnancy says this. Once my daughter was born, the mind battles didn't really stop. I worried about her first surgery, worry over silly little things, and I thought I can't carry on like this anymore, so I knew something had to change. See that? She's reflecting. That's when I really spoke out and didn't keep anything locked up inside. I started to take control of what I was allowing myself to listen to. And I only allowed my heart to listen to God. Now sometimes, and only sometimes, does the enemy allow me to think that she won't make it through her next big operation, or that she'll pick up a life-threatening infection. But again, I stand firmly on God's promises and just look at her playing and loving life to the max and knowing that he has incredible plans for her life. I allow God to cover her and me in his grace and mercy, knowing that he is the one who has put the plans for our lives together and not the stupid little thoughts the enemy puts in my mind. The past few years of suffering, mental health could have easily made us crumble, but it hasn't, because we have one thing to keep us going through this, and that's God. We kept our focus on him through our entire season, and God has brought us through. He may have carried us along the way, but that's okay to admit. Reflect to correct. I refuse to allow my hidden kingdom to be ruled by worry and anxiety anymore. No more. Different ruler, only God. Imagine a kingdom that's ruled by Jesus. It'd be amazing. Your buildings would be made out of chocolate and honey and syrup. A tasty kingdom. Have a look at this. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Those are Paul's words that he writes, that is the image of what it's like to have Jesus in your mind. To allow Jesus to control your thoughts, an unshakable kingdom. When Jesus was here on earth, he's inside of us now, but when he's here presently, if you look at the Gospels, he brought peace, healing, forgiveness, compassion, life. Wouldn't he do the same inside you? Doesn't he want to do the same inside of you? Doesn't he want you to go down under the decks of the boat and wake him up and say, Jesus, I need you to calm my storm? Doesn't he want to stand at the front of your boat and tell every single enemy and every single fear and every single worry to be still in my name so that you can experience true peace in your life? Let me show you a picture. This is a picture of Rotterdam. This was taken in May 1940. And I don't, if you've ever heard, have you heard of the London Blitz? Must have. London Blitz happened it's over 60 years ago now. And it was just devastation in the capital. The Nazis just bombed people to death. And the same happened all across Europe. And this is the Rotterdam Blitz. And in the space of a day, the Nazis had dropped 1,500 bombs on the city, within the city centre in a few square miles. Thousands of people left homeless, hundreds dead. I mean, it was awful. But the image I want you to put in your mind is this image. This is a church called the St. Lawrence Church. And it was the only building left standing. Okay, it was battered, it was bruised, but it was still standing. And this is what we declare together today. That no matter what bombs drop on your heart, no matter what arrows that the enemy flings at you, no matter what entices you, tempts you, or seeks to control you, it will not overcome you. We have an unshakable kingdom. Everyone say unshakable. Come on, unshakable. We have an unshakable kingdom because we have an unshakable God. Jesus Christ is a king, but he is a king above every other king. You see, he died. He died and he rose again in his own strength because he is God. And if that king is within you, nothing can supersede that authority, that power within inside your mind. You have, or you have the potential, if you believe, to have an unshakable kingdom, impregnable, unmovable, unchangeable, the kingdom of God. So what do we need to do to progress this forward? Well, we need to make up our mind. The reality is we're split. Sometimes we're not sure who's leading who or who we're voting for. Sometimes it's a little bit the blind leading the blind. Sometimes we'll let anger drive, generosity, fear, apathy. I mean, let's face it, people, we're a mess. But we have a choice. You see, you might be struggling right now. In fact, I know there's people in here struggling with thoughts that you cannot get rid of. They are just there all of the time. And it's not, you want a pie. It's not those kind of thoughts, I want a pie. Or maybe it is. There are thoughts in your mind that you would say to me, I have yet to overcome them. You might say, I have no power in my kingdom. But you do. You do. You might not think you have the strength to do it, but you have the power to do it. What do you have power to do? You have the power to make a decision. It's what it is. You make a decision. How do I become this fruitful person, this whole person? How do I do that? I see myself becoming this person, but where does it start? It starts with a decision. What is the decision? The decision is to make up your mind. See, if you do not make up your mind, your weaknesses will do it for you. How many times has someone said something and suddenly you have this big emotional reaction? And it's because for some reason these thoughts inside of us seize the throne. Quick, they've turned their back, jump on the throne. But you can stop it. You have the power to decide whether you allow that to continue or not. Okay, sometimes things happen and come out of us sometimes that we struggle to control, but you have a choice. That's your power. A mind is divided, and with each district, we allow different things to rule. Here's some other quotes from the Bible about kingdom. This is Jesus. He says this: if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. It's constant change of rulers and leaders all the time. It is infighting in ourselves, conflict inside ourselves. This is what Jesus' half-brother, James, he said this: a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. United, you stand. Divided, you fall. We need to unite our minds. Here's another little story. had a friend, got a text from a friend who was saying he's been really struggling to really gain control of his thoughts. This is what he says. To gain control of our lives, we have to lose control. To let go of the controls and give them over to the one who is in ultimate control. Stress and pain happen in our minds when there's conflict or a clash. That's why a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Only one ruler can sit on the throne. When more than one wants power, there's conflict. Sometimes we're afraid to let go. Fear grips tightly onto our old thinking, familiar habits and feelings. New takes trust. We need to let go of the driving seat sometimes and let the real driver steer us. Two drivers cannot steer one car. Our thoughts need to be his thoughts. We are fearful of losing control, so we try to control everything, but we're actually messing stuff up. To get real control of my life, I had to lose control and let God take over. And he did. Oh man, there's hope for you in here. Seriously, there is hope for you. When you decide to make up your mind, you decide who is in power. You decide who your driver is. You decide that. And I think you'll start to experience the healing that you desire. So what do we need to do? We need to take back control. Paul says, writes this again in the Bible. It says this, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of our human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, and we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey God. This, Paul is laying out a formula for this hidden kingdom, how to take back control of the thoughts that keep niggling and eating away at you. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture them. We capture every thought in another version and teach them to obey Christ. So I'm going to steal something now. It's not mine. This is Steve Matthews. He's part of the leadership team here. And he's very clever. I think he's got about 4 GCSEs and about 20 degrees. So he wrote a book called Battle for the Mind. And there's I think there's only one or two copies that I've put on the hub. And it's a brilliant book. If you are really struggling in here, there's only a few. So once they're gone, my apologies. You go there, you can take one of those. It's a small book for free, and that will help you gain control of your thoughts. Alternatively, you can just go to his website, stevematthewisbrillandcool.com, or stevematthew.com is the shorter one. You can go on his website and get the book there. But he talks about this strategy that he's had and he's taught over the years, whether that's personal mentoring or from the stage, or he himself uses it in his mind. And, you know, we have a saying whenever you're sort of speaking publicly, and it's to use your eyes and plagiarize. So I've used my eyes and I'm plagiarizing, but I'm giving credit to him. And this is his system. Before I say it, he comes at this whole mental health from a different perspective. I talk about it as a hidden kingdom because of my own experiences, and that helps me to structure creative and productive thoughts. He would say it's like an airport, and you are the air traffic controller. And you've got all these planes wanting to land all the time, and these planes are thoughts, ideas, beliefs, good, amazing thoughts, happy, joyous, and some sad and some worrisome thoughts. And he would say that you are the air traffic controller and you have the choice which plane is going to land. And he would say, it's like, this is his strategy, and it's 3 R's, very simple. How do I take back control? Recognize, refuse, and replace. Day to day living, okay? You wake up, you're at work, you're around the dinner table, these thoughts come and attack your kingdom. What do you do? 3 things. Recognize it, refuse it, replace it. If you take anything away from today, that is excellent stuff. I do use that for the more kind of darker thoughts that I have sometimes. And it's just so helpful because it helps me put Jesus back on that throne, because I get to replace anyone that has kind of taken that place. I get to overthrow that ruler. This is what it's structured like. So we recognize, so we take every thought. So we need to recognize in our mind what is healthy and what is unhealthy. We need to reflect in order to correct. we need to stop. We need to identify when that plane is coming down. We need to recognize, is that healthy or is it not? Where has that plane left? Which destination did that come from? Where is it traveling to? It hasn't got a visa, so it's not coming in. Refuse to let it land. Recognize it. The second thing is this: refuse the thought. Take it captive. Pull up your drawbridge. Stop it moving any closer. Sometimes, what do I mean by refuse? I just mean just to stop it in its tracks. I just mean just go no further. I'm not going to let you start to spill over onto my other kind of feelings and thoughts. I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to look at you for a while. Is that right? Is that good? Is that appropriate? Is that healthy? Refuse it. The problem is if you entertain a bad thought for too long, you end up becoming the puppet. You have to refuse it. No, stop. And replace. Replace the thought. Paul says to teach it to obey Christ. Say, hey, lay down. You're not my master. I'm your master. That's not what my God says about me. I don't care what my high school teacher said about me 20 years ago. I don't care about what just happened at work today. No. No, you don't place a pound sign over my life. I decide my value. You make it obedient to Christ. I love what Dan and the team are teaching our young people. I absolutely flipping love it. Because our young people in this age where social media is all the rage of Twitter and Face and Snapbacks, all the different social media stuff that's going on, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of voices that they could potentially listen to. It's a very loud place now in the world. And I love the fact that this was the whole conference was framed around this one scripture. I love it. Let's read it again. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God gave us a spirit not of fear, not of worry, not of pain, not of past. God ain't giving me a spirit of that. What's he giving me a spirit of? He's giving me a spirit of power, of love, of self-control. Who is power? Jesus. Who is love? Jesus. Who is self-control? Hey, Jesus, get off that cross. Get off that cross and then we'll believe. No. I've got something to do. You're not going to define my life. I'm the ruler of my kingdom. Self-control is Jesus. Jesus is on the throne. So I'm going to replace every thought that seeks to undermine my identity, undermine my confidence, undermine my future, and I'm going to make it obedient to Jesus. A story of a really good friend of mine who's had some problems with one of his children in his family. Just after the new year, we had a massive interruption in our lives with one of our sons becoming very poorly. And we struggled to get a diagnosis for what was wrong to cause him to be so weak. We were anxious, angry, upset that this had happened. Notice all coming out of the woodwork. Fear, worry, anger. With the encouragement of our family and church family, we grew closer to God and leaned into him. Notice, recognize, refuse, replace. Lean into him for comfort and understanding, and we are standing on his word for complete healing. Yeah. In the midst of this situation, God placed people in our path to help us with this situation. We know that he is in control, taking back control, and won't abandon us. And we know this is for a bigger purpose. And there's some great news the other day that they have got a diagnosis. And their son will be treated. And I am saying right now of that family that he will make a full recovery in the name of Jesus. Okay, great. I wonder if Binks, I wonder if you could come up and just play for me. Need some water. That isn't a made up person, that's Janae. It's just my. Thanks, Binks. So what have we talked about? We've talked about a hidden kingdom being the most powerful influence in our life. In your marriage, do you know what? A guy asked me, a real guy in Christ said, what's the most important thing I can do right now? And I said, Don't feel like you're being selfish because you have to look after yourself for a while. Don't feel selfish. Okay, you need some time out. You need some relax. You need to deal with some stuff. You're not being selfish. Because when you deal with you, when you're whole, wholeness will flow out of you. So you're not selfish by taking some time, prioritizing that alone time you need in the week to recharge your batteries. You're not being selfish. You're looking after yourself. Because it's the most important element of you, your hidden kingdom. We talked about who rules me, identifying who it is. What do you think about most? What are the thoughts that are most common or prevail? I'm not talking about this morning. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about the last 3 to 6 months. What are those thoughts in you that you feel like you have consistently fought off your throne, consistently fought them off every step of the way? No, no, you are not gaining control. What are those thoughts? And they might not be obvious, they might be subtle. Who rules me? We learned that we need to reflect in order to correct. And by the way, if you cannot be objective, which sometimes you can't be objective by the nature of how strong these thoughts are, your first step is to tell someone that thought who you can trust. Am I crazy that I think this? No, no, you're not crazy. Just a little bit down at the minute. Am I right in thinking this? No, no, you are right. But there's no need to be afraid. Is it strange that I keep this thought keeps? No, no, no. Yeah, that we need to just replace that thought. You need to tell someone, men, tell someone, get over yourself. Get over your pride. I have wasted too many days of my life thinking that I should be in a better place than I am now. If I would just be honest and say to a colleague or a friend, I feel like this, I would be a better man today for it. Don't remind me of that because I'm too proud. We learned what a kingdom looks like when Jesus is in charge, that it's an unshakable kingdom. We can be so unstable sometimes. We can be like a ship without a rudder or a ballast, where the sails are just catching whatever wind blows our way and we are tossed to and fro. But we are to be like St. Lawrence Church, withstanding anything that life throws us. So what do we need to do? We need to make up our minds, or the enemies will do it for you. You decide. Finally, we need to take back control. We need to recognize, refuse, and replace. But not just do it once. Listen to what Henry Thoreau says. As a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. And again, and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our thoughts, so dominate our minds. So every day we wake up and we make a decision. I will make up my mind and I will take control and I will recognize, refuse, and replace that thought with the one who should be on the throne in the first place. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's pray for some people who are struggling. Come on, let's pray over people today and let's really ask God to liberate them from the ditch they find themselves in. Let's believe in faith together that God can do the impossible in someone's mind. I've had this for years, Ben. I've had this for... My father struggled with this. We're going to break that generational thing right now. We're going to say, you are not your father. You are not your past. You are not your genetic code. No, you're not that. You're a child of God. And I'm passionate today because you may feel like you have no hope and no way out of this, but I'm telling you, you have the power to decide. You have the power to decide. And I just want to stand in the gap for those who feel like they don't have the strength to get up off the floor. I want to stand in the gap for you today. Between who you are now and who you desire to become. And I want to bridge that gap with faith. and say that you are inheriting a kingdom that will not be shaken. And how do I know that? I know that because I too have struggled with stuff. I know what it's like to fight a losing battle and then at the last minute have the stroke of God lift me out of that deep water. I know what it feels like to have this desire for people approval, to have this thing where I just need to be liked, so I'll be one person here and another person there. A divided kingdom that I could not stand anything that life would throw at it. And I'm calling you out and I'm saying to you today that it is time to recognize, refuse and replace the fear, the worry, the drama, the enemies, everything that seeks to control your mind. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. Take back control. Take back control. Let's put a stake in the ground and say, you and I together today, with the help of God, we'll see liberation come to your hidden kingdom for the first time in a long time. Do you believe? No depression is deep enough, and no anxiety is grave enough. No insecurity is high enough, and no pain is wide enough. Jesus, in that white steed, will crest that hill, and he will blow open those doors, and he will storm into your courts and your rooms of judgment and your throne room, and he will cast every bad thought out of that area. And he will take his seat, his rightful place on the throne of your mind. And his first rule of government is peace. This is my manifesto, it's peace. He will settle the kingdom. He will unite every district and faction in your mind, every neighborhood, whether it is broken or whole, and he will bring it under his government, under his rule. And of his government, there shall be no end. He will expand and proliferate in your life. He will not just heal your hidden kingdom, but as you become whole, you will start to speak wholeness. As life begins to breathe again in your mind, you will start to speak life. Suddenly, your relationships will become whole again. Suddenly, your children who walked away so long ago will walk back into your life, and you will have the capacity to forgive yourself and them and make an entirely different future for yourselves. Suddenly, these words that you speak out will create opportunities and promotion at work. It will allow you to access relationships that you thought were shut off from you. This wholeness and this life that will grow and develop inside will give you the tools and equipment to keep your mind sharp and on point and whole. I would say that if you have a broken heart today, let's start with a broken mind. Let's put Jesus back on the throne and let his rulership transcend your whole life. Like a waterfall from the spring to the ocean, he will run that water of life right through every area. And the barren life and the barren land, the land that you thought was desert and overrun by wildlife and sand and nothingness, suddenly shoots will spring forth from the ground. New life will come. The rain will come again. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in here today and you are struggling, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands in a minute. You might say, well, Ben, why are you asking people to do that? Because I believe that we need to make a sign to God to say that, Lord, you're number one. You're the ruler. And I'm calling that grace that lives in heaven down in my mind, and the things that are in me will not control me anymore. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands, and we're all going to pray, and we're not going to pull you to the front. No one's going to ask you, you know, why have you lifted your hand? Maybe your friends will, and that's a good thing, but I'm not going to bring you up to the front. It's between you and God. You need a different ruler in your mind. You need to make up your mind and take back control. Well, it starts when we have a military coup, when we put someone else on the throne. So if that's you, I want to pray for that wholeness again. So just lift your hands and I'll include you in this prayer. That's great, hands everywhere. Some of you haven't lifted your hands yet. Come on, lift your hands and let's pray. for all those that have. I'm so excited about the liberation you're about to have. Come on, there's still some of you who haven't lifted your hands. Are you just letting pride rule the roost again? Get over yourself and lift your hands. Come on, last chance. Here we go. Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray peace. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fall and descend on this person here. That everything that has, God, some people in here feel like they've made so many steps forward, but now they've just fallen down the stairs. But we know, Lord, that with you, anything is possible. And that through you, anything is possible. So we pray that through you, through your Son, that you would release them from the prison that they feel bound by. That you would give them the keys to open up that lock themselves and open up those doors, to give them the key to the lock, to the chains that have bound them to the floor for so long. We pray in the name of Jesus that they would walk out new life, that they would open the doors to that throne room and say, overruled. Anger, overruled. Worry, overruled. Anxiousness, overruled. Anger, overruled. Bitterness, overruled. Jesus is now in control. He will be my master, and his wholeness and peace and government, there shall be no end. And this expanding kingdom that is within me will grow in wholeness, and I will liberate other people. Just speak life over yourself now. If you've got your hands lifted, just speak life inside or outside. Speak life. Tell yourself what you're doing. Tell yourself what you're doing. This isn't strange. You're doing something where you're taking back control. Take back control. Jesus, you're in charge of my life. I'm not listening to myself anymore. I'm listening to you. Jesus, I've put you in control. Jesus, I'm walking back toward you. I'm standing before you now. I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my life. And there it is, the peace right now. There it is, the hope right now. Remember, we were at a conference so many years ago, at a youth conference, and this young lad said, my dad walked away when I was just a baby, and I can never remember a day where I didn't have nightmares in my sleep. His hidden kingdom was ruled by these little gremlins and inner demons, and we prayed for him. That night was his first night who had a peaceful night's sleep. And for the time afterwards that I knew him, there was peace in his hidden kingdom. The nightmares will end. It might take some time, but for some of you, have just received a healing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're in here and you're saying, I have never even thought about Jesus outside of Christmas. Maybe you're thinking, this is the first time I've heard a message like this where Jesus has been taught about the Savior overcoming, and you want to make that decision for the first time. You yourself are taking back control of your life and making up your mind that that you'll believe in Jesus and that you'll follow him. I want to pray a prayer all together. And I want everyone to join in. And I want you to repeat these words after me. And if you're saying this for the first time, I want you to believe it like you've never believed anything else before. I want you to believe it so much that you tell yourself that it is real. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Take my brokenness and my sin and replace it with your grace. I will follow you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. Amen. You have made a decision to follow Jesus. The first step in a transformative life. We're not caterpillars anymore. We're butterflies. Crack open the cocoon. Go fly. It's time. Let's change. If you're in here and you made that decision for the first time, we just want to give you a massive round of applause. I want to give you such a round of applause that it's almost like in the Bible there's a story about the Israelites in Jericho. They march around the city and they all shout, and some of the walls fall down and they invade the city. I believe that's what's happened. I believe in a minute we're all going to walk around your hidden kingdom. We're going to shout, thank you, God, for these people. It's amazing. That those walls are going to crumble. God is just going to invade your life. It's day one, ground zero. let's go crazy right now for every person that decided, I will not be ruled by anything else other than Jesus. Come on, the walls have come down.